Welcome to the New Universe Podcast.
Welcome back, New You Maniacs, here at the Spinner Rack at Season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. Or maybe we're in the postseason. We are your hosts.
Andy, covering the war number 2, and...
Steven, with the heckler's veto.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I think it's actually... There's very little heckling to do. We have a good time with the War Number 2. The New Universe was launched in 1986 as an imprint from Marvel Comics, dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comics. The New Universe changed a lot in its 2.5 years. Pittsburgh was destroyed, forming the Pit. The U.S. government was drafting paranormals into the army. And only one miniseries remains from the new universe, and it is ominously named The War.
War.
With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic in the order they hit the spinner rack, or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. Counting down to the end, 3 comics to go. Man.
Yeah.
If you like what you hear, you can always find more of us over at kickersinc.com, where we post links to our show and
various things,
whatever else
stuff and
related
things
we can think of. And you can always find us and follow over on X, formerly Twitter, at kickersinc, where we let you know what's coming up on this week's show.
Or so I've been told. This week we get to the end of the line for the new universe, the war. Before the end of the war, all of the paranormals would become pawns in a vast and deadly political game. Howard Mackey. Marvel Age, also brief. The War Number 2. The unthinkable happens. World War 3 is declared. Written by Doug Murray, drawn by Tom Morgan. 48 pages. How are we going to get through this? Hudson Paper, New Universe Graphic Album. Direct sales, $3.50, which is still a deal.
Yes.
Though I was trying to sell them for 50 cents and nobody wanted them, so...
According to the pack of all 4, that looks like I bought for $6 at some point in the not too recent distant past.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like the term a new universe graphic album. Like they were going to have a whole line of these at some
point. Yeah, that was the dream.
Dream. Yeah, it's let's see, we've got and we'll also be discussing, well, that escalated quickly. World War III is declared. What? There's one.
They were all just issue? Standing around talking happily. Like, we barely even got to know these guys. We'll see. Oh, The War, limited series, book 2. This is 1989. Probably hit the shelves April 4th, 1989. The cover's kind of interesting. Off recording, I was kind of remarking that it's an odd picture because it's like Magna Conti, Pitbull, and Flying Hubcap Man kind of going up the hill with the flag, and on the other side, a bunch of missiles. So it's like, you know, charging up the hill, but your opposite is missiles. And then I think you pointed out that it's an homage to a Dark Knight Returns issue.
I'd say number 4.
Yeah.
Superman and Batman kind of in silhouette on a incline with that same sort of reddish gradient background.
Yeah. And then on the back, we've got like some stock footagey photos of like the Trinity bombing, maybe, or a bomb test. And then I don't think we got a name for paranormal guy who was claiming to have caused the pit, but he's on there. Like in a photo frame with like behind some barbed wire with a nice screamy looking face.
Yeah, we did get a name. He's still so rebel lead
yeah
paranormal
pitmaster. I don't know.
The pit dude. Yeah.
The Timu
Not you,
version of
Pitbull.
Star
Settle down.
Brand. But
Clone
yeah,
brand. I guess we should. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I remarked at this cover that it was, like, what in the world? Like, this makes no sense. Like, they're charging at missiles. But then after it, reading it, it's like, actually, that kind of does make sense. But anyway, open it up, credits again. Doug Murray wrote it and Tom Morgan drew. I guess kind of quick recap in order. The Russians sent like a fake video to the Americans with this guy who was on the back cover claiming to have caused the pit disaster. And he was supposed to be down in like the jungles of Mozambique. So the army finally gathered up the paranormal force that had been drafted to send them to go and capture or take out this guy who caused the pit. Met some new characters, not necessarily all well fleshed out, except for Kathy Blizzard, who's sort of a reluctant mind reader who's in charge of them. And then, yeah, like, there's, Harlan Mook wandering around exploding things, but then he gets sort of captured and paranormally mind wiped to become an Iranian asset and
Right,
start
we're
fighting for
still
them.
in Iran as the whatever rogue nation. So Ayatollah Khomeini is there, possibly a paranormal himself.
Yeah, and then there was some shadowy South people in South Africa who were kind of involved with the video, like trying to claim credit for the pit, and it seemed like they had some vague goal of manipulating the American paranormals when they came, like using them for some ill aims. But yeah, I think that's about where we left off.
We got, several groups all kind of maneuvering for some goals we're not even quite clear on yet.
Right.
And a couple of mystery players.
Yep.
And yeah, this videotape that claimed credit for the pit. So yeah, supposedly rebels in Mozambique, which is the country on the eastern coast of Africa, just north of South Africa.
Yeah, so they share a border. But yeah, open up the book. This one is Confrontation. And a big old splash page, just art of Fidel Castro's giant head.
Not expecting that one.
No. And he's screaming mad. He's like, "But Premier Castro." It's like, "You do not butt me." And of course, this is in Spanish. "This is not to be borne. This the Americans sending their so-called paranormal force to help the South African racists." The next page is yelling at himself in the mirror, apparently. Like, he's looking pretty mad. He's got the fist up and everything. So,
You know,
oh, he's
I see that it look I assume there's it's like a two-way mirror and there's someone behind it talking to him, but no.
don't know. He's like, "Always the Americans fight us. Try and stop the spread of the communism. Try to thwart the will of the real people of the world." And he's like, "How many advisors do we have in Mozambique?" It's like, "About 15,000." It's like, 15,000
15,000.
now and advisors. And how many are these paranormal freaks? We think there are about 12. It's like, 12? 12 against 15,000? Why are you bothering us with this? And so, yeah, I guess Cuba's involved now, perhaps in a big way, but we'll see. And Castro kind of goes on about, like, why don't we have our own paranormals? Why can't you find them? Maybe they don't really know what the powers of the Americans are. Maybe they can take on that many people. I would be a bit skeptical of that, seeing as the like one guy just flies on a hubcap.
Yeah, paranormals in the new universe can have powers like always has correct change for the bus. It's
Yeah.
like, it's not Superman.
Yeah. But yeah, Castro kind of ends it with, "Make all of our military forces ready. The Americans want to fight, they will find one. More of a fight than they think, more than they want." Woo-hoo. We were promised World War III, though, I suppose. So we cut to like a large surveillance plane, right? It's kind of
An
described as
AWACS.
one of the strangest war planes, continues its never-ending orbit.
Airborne warning and control system.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we have drones for that kind of stuff now, I suppose.
They were pretty, yeah, I mean they're the ones with the big disc on the back, yeah.
Yeah, so they're flying. Pet peeve, like, instead of drawing the background of the plane, it's clearly like a photograph that they stuck in the computer and made it a little bit comic art-ish,
Oh, you're
barely,
right.
but
Yeah.
it feels off. But yeah, we cut to the inside of the plane, and it seems like they're flying over or sort of monitoring around Iran. And Harlan Mook pops in, and he's like, and of course he's kind of cartoonish. In this issue, though, like they dropped the random cartoony art that seemed to pop up
Yeah, it's
totally randomly.
much more realistic, or at least it's not a caricature sometimes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's more consistent, I guess.
This time he still kind of zings them with a lot of one-liners. So he like pops in, is like, a bright and good morning to you all. It's like, I don't suppose I can convince you to leave the area to allow the people of Islam to live in peace and live in their own way. But no, how foolish of me to even think you could listen to reason. They don't even say anything. You don't follow the laws of Allah. You don't even allow women here in a war plane. He's like, you. Woman, you should have taken a mate, had a family. I was like, what is this, Harrison Butker, the like Chiefs kicker guy? You even allow women here? It's like, live the life of God as God meant
I think I'm
you
subscribed to this guy's Twitter feed.
to. There's a wall of guns in the plane because sure. They kind of grab him and they're like, this guy's crazy. And but before they can really do anything, Harlan salutes, and then of course his ability is explosive teleportation. So like Nightcrawler, but only when he leaves, and a really big explosion, perhaps the bigger it is, the further he's going, right? So yeah, he blows up the warplane, likely causing an international incident. All right, so we cut to another plane. So at the end of War One, the paranormals had, had some leave time, met each other a little bit, loaded up on the plane, and we're flying off to South Africa. So now we kind of pick up with them on the way again, sort of all sitting in this big old cargo plane, and Blizzard kind of starts and says, "All right, time you men knew where we're going and why." And she talks about the videotape. They kind of show the image of the, explosive paranormal who they're framing or, doing something with. We're not exactly sure
We're not
yet.
there yet, it seems.
Yeah. She's like, according to our intelligence, he was responsible for the destruction of the city of Pittsburgh. This gentleman is the man who created the pit. Then we get kind of like a recap page of all of the characters, Pitbull. We get Bob Loser, aka Pretty Boy, Brian Pickett, aka Troll, Vincent Sano, aka Shooter, who shoots things good, Garth, which is Gridlock, who we know, the Jungle Gym creation guy, Chris, Metallurgist with the flying hubcap, Sergeant Haldeman's there for some reason. I guess he's no longer drill sergeant, he's on missions.
I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah, I mean, again, maybe not the most combat ready kind of power. There's Mapper, which we don't really know. NORAD, Jacob Lau, who we saw a little bit, and then Jeff Walters Blur, who's angrier than normal in the war, I think. Man, he's thinking, and they're all thinking something in their head, but Jeff's like, so he's the one who killed my family. You're gonna pay, killer. I'm gonna make you pay. So again, he's quite mad. Blizzard kind of wraps up, he's kind of neutralized. We don't know how strong he is. We got to work together as a team. We've had the training. Now we're going to see if it did any good. Apparently also with no conventional troop backup, air support, or really much of anything, but one plane and some kind of radar vehicle. I'm sure it's going to be great. So she walks by Magna Conti, who's kind of second in command, I guess, to her. And, he's thinking, if I had Dory here, do they mess up?
I think that's got to be a screw up for Darlene or
Yeah. Darl, maybe Darl would work.
yeah,
Yeah.
doll. Just call her doll.
Yeah. So he's kind of,
Doll.
gawking at her a little, gawking at Blizzard a little bit as she walks by. He's like, but she'd do just fine. He's like, maybe I'll just slide over and, so he starts to talk to her. He's like, Major, I know you wanted to rest, but I'm gonna annoy you with chit-chat. It's like, we gotta talk. I know I'm a little hard to take sometimes. Sometimes. It's like, all right, I'm a pain. Still, you want us to work together as a team. Teams stick together. This is given the football speech, which I think kind of hits right. It's like, they don't go off by themselves. What's the problem? Because she's kind of sitting off away from the squad, I suppose. She's like, I can't touch you, Captain. I can't even get close to you. It's like, but why? It's my curse. When I'm close, even walking nearby, I can feel what you feel. Like, do you know what that means? Can you even conceive what that's like? When I passed you just now, I felt like I wanted myself. It's confusing, demeaning. I don't know what. Like, yeah, that would be awful. Jack's
Think, yeah,
right.
the whatever telepathic power she has, I can't quite tell if it needs contact or more, you get more from contact, but
Seems like it's super strong from contact, but then stronger the closer it is. Yeah.
and I
It's
mean,
sort of
even
involuntary, yeah.
and she's pretty attractive, and she keeps, around these very lonely guys, and so reading their
Yeah.
minds, you just, I need a shower.
Yeah. Jack's trying. He's like, people go their whole lives never realizing how others feel. Sometimes they act like idiots trying to please others. Believe me, I know. I've been there. So they shake hands. It's like, trust me, or better yet, feel you can trust me. We're a team and we're gonna win. So,
Sorry, I just pictured you naked some more there, but
yeah. We get kind of another odd-ish interlude. One of the Russians was sent down there to basically monitor the situation. So he's just kind of hanging out on a boat on the off the coast. And as a new friendship is cemented, a man who's forced by geography and history to be an enemy watches from below, which is sort of interesting. So he kind of sees the plane go by. Boats are faster than planes, apparently. Watches because it's all he can do. For now.
yeah, if you're going undercover, maybe wearing your Russian army uniform isn't the best.
Right, like the hat and everything. We cut to the Pentagon with CIA director Angry Face. I don't know. It's a really pouty looking dude.
Did not get a name for him either, yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of miserable and dresses down Night Mask. Keith Remsen's there, of course. He has been tasked with feeling guilty for letting Harlan Mook into the army, even though probably Pitbull was more to blame for his breakdown, I would say.
Point there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, they put a lot of I don't honestly know if, because he never, like, did not pass anyone that we saw in the draft, so
Right.
I think he was kind of talking about getting some pressure to pass as many people as he could at the
Yeah.
time.
Move them along. We need all these weirdos. Also, I think we've covered it a bunch, but, how are you going to learn about someone's mental state from their dreams, which are often totally off the wall, right? But, all right.
Lizard maybe would have been better at that job, honestly.
Yeah, totally better. What are your intentions? All right, now I know them. But they're showing him video of the explosion on
I
the
know that he's
plane.
heterosexual. That's all I figured out.
Yeah. How did they get video of the explosion on the plane is a good question, but
I'm gonna assume there's like a, yeah, like a camera inside, an internal
Yeah,
Sure.
but it didn't get damaged and they found it right away. I don't know. Timelines are a little
Actually, yeah,
wonky.
it wouldn't be broadcasting internationally the way
And it
some,
was maybe
yeah.
over Iranian airspace, so perhaps difficult to recover. I don't know. Small details. There's no letters, pages for anybody to complain about them in because it's all done. But yeah, the guy's just like reading, just basically laying into poor Remsen. He's like, Remsen, I'll give you one last chance. Find Harley Mook. He's like, I don't have that kind of useful paranormal power, dude. I just
That's the
fall
thing
asleep
is,
and get in people's dreams. What do you want him to do? Be an assassin?
yeah, it's one thing to be like, well, this was your fault, but yeah, Keith's power isn't going to track him down
Right.
somehow. Yeah.
I mean, he can hold his own against a squad of cartoonish bikers or something, but and the odd voodoo master, but maybe not the whole Iranian army.
I'll be honest, like looking at the him attacking this plane. I mean, he goes on board and he sort of mouths off for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
They could have grabbed those guns and just shot if someone told them, if a guy teleports onto the plane, shoot first, ask questions later.
All right, one second. All right, so we cut from Remsen getting the riot act and his questionable assassination mission to the ship of the airplane of paranormals landing on the runway in South Africa. And there's a bunch of South African soldiers all lined up. They're like, all right, dress it up. Let's look good for the freaks. That's one guy saying. And Magna Conti kind of leads him down the ramp and like feeling proud, kind of looking like, yeah, things are going well. Look sharp, men. Looks like they've gone all out for us. He shakes hands with the Aryan Nation looking guy. He says, Captain, I'm Colonel Ort. Ort? Liaison for this mission. Ort. That's a fun one. I said,
Yeah, I
Colonel.
only know it from the Oort cloud is some astronomical thing.
That's a good one. This guy is not related to that, I don't think. So Jack's, all slick. Jack Magna Conti, field commander for the paranormal force. Perhaps you'd like to meet my men? Like in a moment. First, my men would like to meet you. Oh, and they all kind of crowd around him.
Looks
So
like
good to see you.
Familych is coming on to you or
Yeah,
something.
we're so glad to see you. And like he's all smiles, thinking like, yeah, he's excited. People are treating him like a hero from his football days. Everybody else is looking on. And we get a lot of, I mean, this issue seems to love brief thought bubbles from everybody, which I don't enjoy that much, but
If there's like 20 of them, then you're
yeah.
really just, yeah.
So like, but Pitbull's thinking like something's wrong here, and Shooter is like they put on a nice show, but everybody else is pretty happy, and then Jeff Walters is there. It looks like they were all kind of lined up and he shook everybody's hand but him. He's like, he skipped right by me. He didn't want to touch me. So,
You're
something.
vibrating, dude.
That is a good point, actually. So, Kathy's with the plane with perhaps some scale drawing issues, but kind of there with the little mini roller tank thing coming down.
Nice. Was that a G.I. Joe thing? I don't know. She says it's the communications van, but it looks like an armored personnel carrier or
Yeah,
something.
but it's got a little dish on the top, so maybe the TV's in there or something. She's kind
Yeah.
of out there doing her job, and Magna Conti's like, "Wait, you got to meet our major, Kathy Blizzard," and the guy all smiles at first. He's like, "A major and a lady? How rude of me to." Oh, he just kind of scrunches his face at her. Of course, Kathy Blizzard is dark skinned, so.
She's, yeah, according to the first issue, she is a black woman.
Yes. And so he kind of walks away. Well, if you'll excuse me. And then we cut back to the shady cabin. So there's this like dark room with the ceiling fan where they're talking the conspiracy theories, and they're like, the American freaks have arrived. Even now they prepare to do our work for us. It's like, yes, they are here, but they have blacks among them, Kaffirs, which I guess was an old slang term or whatever. Nice looking. One of
I'm
them is
trying to
their
keep the
leader.
clean rating on the Apple
Is
podcast here,
that a
so
bad one? I've never really heard the term before, so
I don't know. We'll just refer to it as the K word from now on,
The
but
keyword. I think it's also some kind of plant. I don't know. Wikipedia. But yeah, so
one of the K's is
these,
their leader.
yeah, these conspiracy theorist kind of dudes, right? It's like, we may have made a mistake. Perhaps the United States is not fit to survive. And the guy kind of turns and opens the window up. I'm not sure why it was closed this whole time. It's like, still, we have plenty of time to think of it. And for the moment, let us enjoy the dawn. And it turns to facing him, and it's the orc guy who just met them on the runway. Or someone who looks exactly like him. It's kind of hard to say, but I'm pretty sure it's him. So he's behind it. The dawn of a new day, and soon a new age, maybe even a new universe. No, not that far.
It's yeah, so the first issue, these are the guys who were talking about sort of passing this video on to the Americans, and
Right.
that they were hoping that they would get them to do their work for them. That's about
Right.
all we really had.
Which sounds like it's going to plan since they
Apparently, we're
landed
halfway
at
there, yeah.
their Air Force base. So, whoops. So they put up the paranormals like in some barracks, basically. And so everybody's kind of, unpacking their hubcaps and machine guns. Like, can you believe those guys? You see how they swarmed all over the captain? It's like, I could get to like it here. He seems to be quite the man. So a bunch of them are pretty happy. They're kind of even liking that Colonel Ort guy. He's like, this is even better than Fort Benning. I wonder what the babes here are like. Women are alike all over the world. They will welcome us with open arms. It's like, what planet are you living on? But
That's
then Pitbull is the voice of reason, which is kind of
amazing.
funky.
Nothing
Like,
jumped out at me quite as much as this. Pitbull lays it out for him.
Pitbull got a master's degree in between the draft and this, maybe, or something like.
I remember there was that The Simpsons where Mr. Burns was thinking back to being in the war or something, and there was a guy, Ox. But it was short for Oxford, so you asked him something and he had a
Yeah.
very like long educated get.
This guy used to just, he formed a post-apocalyptic society around the pit and tried to eat people. He's with it now, though. And he's like, Pitbull's like, yeah, just like they welcomed him. And he points to Blur, who's just kind of sitting there angrily. He's like, your colonel didn't bother to shake hands with Jeff there, did he? And we all know why, don't we? Because Jeff's black, and in South Africa, blacks are less than people. Not a pretty picture, is it? And they all kind of like, okay. Still think this is a great place, Chris? And you, Garth, is the colonel such a great guy? I'm telling you guys, open your eyes. Something smells here. Something stinks. And then we get a nice shower scene.
That was a great segue.
It was a good.
Something stinks, and suddenly Kathy's in the shower.
Yeah, and then the last final narration thing is, and as Pitbull and the rest of the men catch the putrid scent of racism. Why are we showing naked Kathy Blizzard then? Are we saying that she stinks of putrid racism?
Like a mental image I didn't need, dude. I don't
Right.
know.
But her and Magna Conti are in the same room, and she's apparently showering with the door open. So, like, she can't mind his mental thoughts that much at that rate. And definitely some artfully placed steam and bubbles.
It is, I mean, it's not, yeah, too spicy, but the shack is like right outside with like a window
Yeah.
or a mirror view or something, and
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you can
it's
kind of
all
see it
very like,
through the mirror. He's peeping.
and yet so hard.
So
Control yourself! Control!
I mean, obviously she noticed the racism, but she kind of thinks there's something else that she didn't quite pick up on that almost slipped from him. Yeah, Jack's trying to fight his baser instincts. You're supposed to be a man, supposed to be a soldier, a hero. Control yourself. He's like, "You think they're trying to use us?" And she's like, "Everybody's trying to use us. That's why they created this chicken outfit. That's why they sent us here. But they have to believe they can use us. Otherwise, they'll try to destroy us." That's not good. So what do we do about all this? For now, we do what we've been told. Find the rebels and kill the paranormal from the film. After that, we'll see. Again, she's walking around in a towel, so I'm not sure why they're in the same bunk, but maybe he's just there because she wanted to give some orders or something.
They're very forward thinking in South Africa
Right.
in gender relations, but just not racial relations.
Right.
Oh,
They got
yeah,
a little
male,
bit.
female, just bunk together. It's, cool. Blacks and whites, hold on. Oh. Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah. All
It's
right.
a cute interlude, though, I gotta say.
Yeah. So one more setting. Starting to get tired here. Dawn breaks over the jungles of Mozambique, right? So hidden in the underbrush and trees, a small camp wakes. Its inhabitants are sworn to fight the South Africans and their policy of state racism. Many of them because they felt the sting of racial hatred, others because of the fear. They fear the spread of that madness. And of course, there are always the professionals: Cubans, Angolans, Tanzanians. Tanzanians?
It's the
Men.
like also next to the next country over in
Yeah.
a different
Men who
direction.
fight because they're ordered to fight, who fight because their leaders want the world kept on the edge of all-out war. Right? So yeah, I guess it seemed like historically, that's fairly true. Like some of the South Africans who were trying to sort of, fight the civil war, essentially, like fled into Mozambique, and kind of staged there. But whether or not there were in fact Cubans down in, or Cuban mercenaries or such, kind of, it's a little tricky.
I kind of remember Cubans being in Angola, which is on the west side of Africa, but neighbor next to South Africa. It's from my quick wiki look, it sounded like it was actually more of like a communist versus whatever South Africans, and so they were like the South Africans said they were trying to prevent the spread of communism, and communists said they were trying to
Right.
present fight the African races. I don't know, but
Yeah. But anyway, it seems the various groups and soldiers at the camp, rebels, I guess, just for lack of a better word, keep it simple. Like they're on to that the Americans are there. We must attack now, finish them before they found our camp. It's like, well, won't that expose ourselves? If there's such a big threat, maybe we can just retreat into the jungle, wait them out. It's like, and presumably the Cuban guy is like, but they're Americanos here. We must teach them. They cannot play policemen over the whole world. We must kill them now, or there will be more of them. It's like, well, I'm not sure. It's like, we don't double when we get murdered, right? Like, split into, kill one, and then they split into two. But I guess point taken. They're kind of arguing, and as they argue, narration kind of clues us in. It's really kind of hard to tell visually what this is supposed to be going on here. As I thought so. Is that the, as the rebel brain trust separate for their daily business, one of them bumps into a loitering figure, a figure whose power makes him appear to belong, but one whose reason for being there is quite different from the others around him. It's like that's a bit overblown way of saying that I think this is Pretty Boy, and his power is to kind of blend in and change his appearance, which may or may not just be making his skin color change a little bit.
I think it's like a psychic thing where they just
They
reckon,
see him as what they want to, kind of thing.
yeah, more like that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's a guy I know.
But
Okay.
yeah, like visually, it's kind of hard because we're not getting like the visual cue as strongly.
Yeah, it's just completely flat to he's a
So,
guy there.
yeah. So I guess he's infiltrated
He's not the
and.
most characteristic looking guy either, like
No.
some of the other characters, so it takes you a second. It's true.
He needs a scar or something. He's kind of just loitering around, literally, as the rest of them are kind of on the outside of camp in the spot that's never guarded in these things, the hiding spots where you can spy in. And Jack and Blur and Pitbull, are talking about him. It's like, it's really amazing. It's as if they see someone completely different when they look at him. It's like, keep an eye on him. I'll contact the major and let him know. And she's like, she said, all I had to do was concentrate. And it's like, they have radios. But so he can think in his head, I guess, and then reach her telepathically. We get like a fun little image of her head pop up. It's like, I'm here, Captain. What's up? It's like, we found the camp. No sign of our paranormal friend yet. Loser's inside and looking around. She's like, well done. Keep an eye on him and let him do his thing. When he finds our boy, you know what to do. It's like, yeah, I know what to do. Killing for the CIA is what I love to do best. I mean, wait, no, didn't I hate that? Go back to those Kickers Inc. episodes. Conflict. The careful Captain, bring the our men back, which is like they're a team, right? She got the message. So yeah, we'll see where we go from there. And so the next scene is basically, I guess they left their commander back on the base, and everybody else went with them though. But she's walking around, thinking to herself, can't keep worrying about myself. Done all I can do. Just have to wait. I always hate waiting. Let's have a look around. She's kind of walking around, coming up to what looks like pens, like almost like animal pens, like covered like wood and barbed wire. She's like, odd sort of place, a stockade and a forward base. It's like these men don't look like prisoners, and it's kind of like, I guess all black. Just a bunch of guys, looking kind of miserable. She's like, every one of them is black. Can they all be rebels? It's like, maybe I should ask. And then suddenly she gasps. She's like, oh my God. It's like, it's him, the man from the tape. And we see, yeah, the guy that's on the back cover who was in the tape claiming to be the mastermind behind the pit. Still big and buff, but just kind of hangdog looking there. It's total sad face,
Very
totally
sad.
down and out
Yeah.
and captured. So again,
Yeah, he's just one of the prisoners there. So.
this is who they were sent to get. So the frame up is happening.
What?
So her story convenience mental powers reaching out across a continent, like or at least a good couple hundred miles.
I mean, they here's the she. When she's walking away or around, you can see that that APC looking thing right behind her. So it's like I would have expected like you drive the group up closer to this rebel base and then
Use that thing for communication in some way, shape, or form.
so, but I don't know. I'm not the military genius, Kathy Blizzard.
Nope. Nice try. Not military genius. But yeah, so she's kind of surprised, of course. We cut back to Jack, who's just kind of spying, hanging back, looking at the camp. But then he kind of gets her mental scream in his head. And apparently it's strong enough to affect everybody. So, and as Jack is momentarily stunned by Kathy Blizzard's mental scream of denial, the other members of the team feel it as well. So they show Pretty Boy kind of just walking through the camp again. He's just kind of spying, but he cripples over and then loses control of his powers. Visually, there's not really any good cues for us, but then one of the other rebels, I suppose, is like, who? An intruder, but guards. And so the jig is up. And then just as that happens, a bunch of South African racist commando dudes, come on either side of Kathy and grab her.
It's kind of I'm not sure whether she is like communicating, like the IE is like her saying that she sees the guy,
Or her
or
getting
that when they
grabbed in a
grab her,
panic, yeah. That would make more sense, just like sequentially it's a little rough on the panel. Because we don't see that until after. But yeah, so the jig is up and Ort pops up quickly. He's like, so Major, it still astonishes me that you could ever hold such a rank in a civilized country. I will. I see you found our little experimental farm. It gets weirder. It's like,
we're growing Hitler clones.
yeah,
What?
not quite.
It's
And he's like,
Didn't know.
deep down inside, I rather hoped you would. Of course, you left it totally in the open where anybody could have walked by. Perhaps a little questionable. Maybe they covered
Park
it with a
your
tarp or something before Magna Conti left.
park your weird vehicle right next to that stockade full of,
Yeah.
not prisoners who are not paramilitaries.
Not your complete target for this mission. And then it gets a little funky. He's like, I'm rather curious to see what will result when I breed an American paranormal to that particular specimen. And he points to the pit guy. It's like, oh, geez, it's a breeding camp? What are we doing here? He's like, oh. She's like, you're insane. My team will. Oh, yes, your freak show. Let me show you what will happen to them. Bring her. And then, like, around the corner, giant cruise missiles. Like, did they not see those when they were landing? Did they roll them out of the silos, maybe? But yeah, so we've been planning this for some time, and your paranormal force was the perfect cover for us to finally become operational under. For us to finally become operational under. Okay. As you see,
Cover
we.
for us to be, yeah.
Yeah. There's like, you see,
He's
we.
his English isn't his first language. I don't
Not mine
know.
either, apparently. It's like, cruise missiles. It's like, fully armed and operational cruise missiles liberated from your friends in Iran. When they go off in the midst of our enemies, why, the whole world will believe it was not our fault. Just another case of paranormals going berserk and wreaking havoc. Except, the Russians are spying and know where everything's coming from. But we'll find out about that later, I guess. Cruise missiles from Iran necessarily would not be nuclear, but South America maybe had nukes.
No, actually, where South Africa got nukes from Israel.
Yeah, that's right. So South Africa had nukes. I said South America, but we're
Yeah,
naming
South Africa d
everything.
did have nukes. They built a few, and they had like the natural resources, and Israel had the technology, so
Yeah.
they kind of both are nuclear armed. Anyway, I double checked cruise missiles. Like, what's the difference between cruise missile and a ballistic missile? Because these are the sort of,
One's got a smoother
rocket looking.
ride, like the cruise missiles, kind of nice,
Yeah.
easy.
You can
Ballistic, a
just
little
put that,
harsh,
push
bumpy.
that button, and you don't have to touch the gas once. Yeah. So yeah, ballistic missile is the one, just is like a rocket that kind of goes up, and it doesn't need to be, firing the whole time. It just sort of has a longer range and kind of goes higher, so it goes further. And then a cruise missile, which I th is what they want here, is and goes close to the ground and is subsonic, so it's slower, so maybe you could catch it.
Yeah.
But it looks more like an airplane, you know what I mean? So it's kind
Yeah.
of an early drone looking thing. So they kind of make it look a little more ballistic, but that is what they want, is a cruise missile, I guess.
Gotcha.
Ah,
So yeah,
with my.
so they're gonna launch this thing against the camp and then kind of blame it on the paranormals as if they set off another pit, because then this alleged paranormal pit causing dude was supposed to have been there in the first place, right? What could go wrong?
It's. I mean, even in the 80s technology, you could kind of tell the difference probably between a nuke.
And something that like carved out a perfect sphere somewhere. Yeah. Hey, maybe he's not the best and brightest of the South African racist commando squad. But we cut back to the camp, and so they've clued in on Pretty Boy, who's again still kind of like stunned and lost his cover. So they're about to kind of like club him with the butt of a gun. Before, the guy who's right, just about to hit Pretty Boy gets shot in the head, and we get a not bloody likely. And that's Shooter, from a distance, sniping. It's like, not while I have ammo in a clear line of fire.
Weird, the weird, like the 2 pages across from each other make it look like Shooter is going to shoot the missile or Kathy there. It's
Yeah,
kind of.
especially in the book, unless you really peel it open, like you don't really get the gutter divide in the middle,
Right.
That's
So,
my
yeah.
biggest complaint about the war, is the thing doesn't lie flat. For
That's true, yeah.
podcasting, total pain.
It is. It's a workout. Oh, true.
But yeah, Pretty Boy makes a run for it, with Shooter for cover, and he's get just about to the tree line, but there's a whole lot of rebels behind him, and he gets gunned down. So well, that's the end of him. We barely got to know you. Hundreds of rebels. And so somebody yells, I'm not really sure, maybe Haldeman is like, they got closer, open up on the suckers. So, the squad returns fire, retreats kind of back up a hill. They're like, Walters, where's Walters?
Luckily, they don't, like break into using their paranormal powers. They just use their guns, which.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly more practical at this point, and we don't know what half of their powers are anyway. Like the map guy, mapper, maybe not combat ready. I don't know. So cut back again to the Russians in their funny U-shaped war room. This time they got some static, so they got tired of looking like at the creepy eyeballs from the last issue. They're like, I can't believe it. How can they be so stupid? They're looking at images of the cruise missiles. People like that always think they know more than anybody else, but it's common knowledge our satellites can see. Common knowledge means nothing to them. If they cannot do it, it cannot be done. So, like, they don't realize the text there if they don't have it. That is how they think. It's like those white people, they don't know anything. It's like, wait, aren't we whites? Yes, we're Russians. I don't know. It's problems. So what do? We do what we must. Order all of our missiles to condition three. Make sure they're all ready to fire. So the Russians are armed. And then we cut to the Cubans. The Cubans are pissed too. It's like, oh, they're going to use these missiles against our liberators because they have quite a bit of men at this rebel camp. So the Cubans load up their missiles.
Yeah,
And.
it's interesting. He says, we will the missiles the fools thought think we gave back all those years ago. So that's the Cuban Missile Crisis in the early 60s.
Yeah, because they were armed, but that was then supposedly, they were all taken away after the crisis, right?
So.
Next page, America, right? Similar. They're looking at a screen of.
Literally everyone is on to you, South Africans.
Yeah.
No one is going to be fooled by
It's like the
these.
Russian spy satellite from the last issue that had like a ground view. It was like I just imagine there's like all these satellites like flying circles around. Like, wonder what those are. I don't know. Ignore them. They're bumping into each other. Oh, it's like that's the story, sir. Satellites indicate these weapons have a range of approximately 1,500 miles. They will surely blame their use on our paranormal force in the area. And who knows how the Russians will respond, or the Cubans? It's their men in the area, sir. We must take action. Bring us to DEFCON 3. Make sure he's got the football with him, being the nuclear case with the codes. We even got an editor's note with that one. But yeah, everybody's like, all right, these guys have missiles. Get loaded up. We're ready to launch.
Someone had to say missiles, get our missiles going.
Yeah, missiles. So back to the fight at the rebel base, or no, that's actually back to Jeff Walters. And he's like, as the great powers race toward the final war, Jeff Walters races toward his greatest nightmare, his family. And he had some dream imagery of like his family strapped to the rocket and like he could never rush to save him in time. So it's kind of nice that they're calling back to that. But basically, he took off, left his squad, and ran all the way back to the South African base.
So I'm a little, I mean,
How in the
not
world?
sure how he got that other than like everyone in the squad got the like mental call from Kathy.
Yeah. But
Yeah, Jack is like, where's Blur
right.
from a
Blur's
minute ago?
gone.
So yeah, he's just taken off.
Yeah. So yeah, he failed to save them when Pittsburgh destroyed, and now he's found a new family, a family of paranormals, family of men and women who are different like him. Men and women, I guess. Now he has a chance to save them. He must not fail again. So he's racing towards the cruise missiles, and Kathy's like, Jeff, stop the missiles, but it's basically already launched. So he keeps running, but totally misses it. Maybe catches his hand in the rocket trail. It's a little hard to say. I'm not 100% sure what he was going to do anyway, because he's not super strong, but he does not make it in time. We'll see what the rest of the paranormals can come up with. So they're kind of retreating in the jungle, getting away from the rebel base where they're sorely outnumbered. Kathy mentally t lets them know that the cruise missiles have been launched. They're coming your way, right? They've launched them literally at them. You got to stop them. You've got to. And then we're kind of back to the cover. Like, what do a bunch of people walking up a hill going to do against a missile?
I've got a guy here who makes like Lego blocks into a cage.
Yep. Well, I mean, we'll see how it goes.
Got Mapper, Troll, and Nuke Stop Guy. Oh, wait a second.
We forgot we had Nuke Stop Guy. I mean,
Oh,
Mapper
right.
or NORAD maybe could like confuse targeting or something, but I guess not.
Quick,
We'll see.
screw up their satellite navigation.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, they left Missile Deactivation Man at home, apparently. So yeah, it's like, Missiles, Garth, use your powers, build some sort of net. Maybe we can block them here. It's like, but it's so they kind of work together. Metallurgist, clears a path with his hubcap in the underbrush so that they can build a giant play structure kind of thing. This Garth guy's kind of wobbling up at the top of it, I think. It's like, now if I can just get it high enough in the right place. It's like trying to catch the missile. Shooter hovers up on Metallurgist's flying hubcap, like to get like a bird's eye view, maybe do something with his gun, but it's all wobbly. Magnacanti picks up a tree or rips one out of the ground, shades of one of those last DP7 issues. And kind of rears back with it. He's like, oh, what a, he's he, even he kind of knows. He's like, what a joke. Hubcaps and trees against nuclear weapons. Still, we've got to try. Got to. I'm like, oh no. Then, to make things worse, the rebels catch up, gun down two red shirts. I mean, Troll and Mapper. So, I mean, they didn't really do much. Pickett and Matthews, Troll and Mapper, go down. And Haldeman's there doing nothing except shouting they're dead. Pitbull joins the fray. He finally kind of pissed off, jumps in. Haldeman's like, watch yourself. He's like, no, I'm through being careful, through following orders. I'm the Pitbull, and it's time for me to do what I do best. So he's like one gun in each hand. I think he's kind of bulletproof, right? Like,
Mostly, I
just
mean,
roughly, yeah. Super tough.
he can take a lot of damage. So yeah, he is he's Wolverine now, I guess,
Yeah,
huh?
so goes in guns blazing, but the rocket's still, it's starting to appear in the horizon. So yeah, he's built a giant gridlock's built a giant wall of his grid stuff, but the rocket just blasts right through it. He's thinking about his family. He's like, I wish there was some way straight at me, and starts praying, Our Father who art in heaven, but. He's standing on top of the thing for some reason and just gets kind of blasted off of it. Shooter's
It's a little
there.
questionable to me whether, like, if he got hurt in that.
I mean, we'd definitely be hurt, but maybe not dead. I mean, you could easily die from that fall, but it's no guarantee, I would say. Shooter's up there getting ready to aim, but he basically like falls off. Wile E. Coyotes himself through a bunch of tree branches and missed the shot. And then Magnacanti's got one last gasp. He's like, they didn't stop it. It's up to me. Fourth and long, just like the old times. He didn't win that last Super Bowl. Let's see if I still got it in me. And launches the tree, hits the rocket dead on, one last pass, and nothing. It's like, a lot of good that did. Not even a dent. Damn, what do we do now? Not much, sir. Not much. So the rest of them kind of regroup. Whoever's left, the NORAD is, over here. I'll try and shield us, stop the radiation from killing us. Like, that's the only hint we have to what he can do. I'm not really sure.
If it's, yeah, shielding you from radiation, that's a good power in this case, for
Yeah.
sure.
But maybe it's just NORAD and Magnacanti. and Haldeman and metallurgist Chris all kind of together, and one of the dying guys, which I'm not honestly sure which one it is.
I'm going to say Pickett. When we saw him before, he was thinking he wanted to be a hero.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good
Oh,
call.
nice.
And then we roll through our international agents again. Russia, as the paranormal force prepares to meet its fate, other men move to determine the fate of the world. They press the button. Notably, a button. Not like a double turnkey or any kind of code stuff, but straight up buttons. So the Russians fire their missiles somewhere? At South Africa? I don't know. The Cubans fire their missiles with a fuego, of course, because that's what a Cuban would say when he fires his missile.
Del Fuego. It's
Yep. And then back to America. Command post deep under Cheyenne Mountain. It's like, they're flying. Tell the chief they're on their way. It's like, I'm sorry, sir. There could be no doubt. And like, I guess we get Voight, a mini appearance. I thought he'd be more central, but
it does
it's,
seem like void to me, although they
yeah.
don't say it by name.
Right. It's like, madness, complete and utter madness. How can they hope to survive? How can we hope to survive? Still, I have a duty. Duty to country, to all who came before. Tell the chiefs of staff they have my permission. And they have the keys. Like, the Russians have a freaking button. Americans at least have the two-key system.
Very backward. I don't know, man.
Right?
It's...
Not even a real country.
Yeah.
And then Americans fire their missiles at somebody? And then we get poor Night Mask, who also fires his nuclear missiles in an attempt to stop the Iranians. No, they just put him on a boat. All right, man. You don't even get a plane to go and try and stop Harlan Mook. You're going on a boat. So he's just looking sad. Far away in a lonely frigate patrolling the Persian Gulf, young paranormal continues his vigil, waiting for the appearance of a man who has meant death to so many. A man Keith Remsen classified as sane and competent. A man he now has to destroy, even though it apparently didn't even issue him a gun.
So I'm assuming that this is like a trap. They're setting a trap for him.
Yeah, like there's another ship in the area that, Harlan, would blow up like the plane. Yeah, I suppose that would work. And the captain's kind of looking to himself. He's like, Remsen, have you heard? Heard what? It's like, they've done it. The fools have done it. The missiles are flying. It's only a question of time. And then we get some narration. And as the news is digested by one young man far away, another much older man gets the same news, older man, and reacts in quite a different way. And so back to Iran, and Harlan Mook's there too. He's like, so my friend, your people have finally done it. Sir? They have done our work for us. He's cackling. They have destroyed their world. Now we only have to pick up the pieces. Is it not a fine joke? It's like, did the Iranians really want to conquer a radioactive world? Who are they going to sell stuff to? I don't know. It's problems.
The I'm not sure whether they were trying to provoke war
I mean,
with
definitely Iran was, but we'll get to it. And
smoke.
just one last page of the Earth, right? And so it looks computer rendered at this point. And there's all these like giant fireballs flying around the Earth. It's kind of hard to make out if it's really kind of showing Africa or not. Maybe it is. I was kind of hoping to guess if they're all converging on one spot or like who's actually firing where.
They could be converging on South Africa,
Yeah, I suppose it could be
maybe.
Africa, kind of in that middle left of that photo. It's just a little hard to tell.
Yeah.
And one last narration, and then I'm tired. As the laughter of an aged madman fills a small room in Tehran, as they've got here, the rest of the world waits in horror and fear, waits for the arrival of death from the sky, waits for the world to end. Bum bum bum. Next issue, retaliation, and then nothing. Not even a little page at the end. Boom, done. War book two, over.
Boom, indeed.
I did not hear a whole lot of hecklers vetoing.
Heckler's veto is when you just make such a pain to yourself of yourself that there's like a speaker at your campus that you don't approve of, and you all like make such a noise that they can't
Right.
talk and whatever.
I see. I mean, you kind of did that, I guess, a little
I like to derail whatever you're thinking, and then if you're making any points, I'll sort of bigfoot them. And anyway.
Yeah. Every time I think to myself, like, I can skip this panel, and then you're like, but wait, there's something interesting there. Damn. Trying to get this out.
Yeah, we have always had this issue with the new universe. So our whole approach perhaps leaves something to be desired.
Nah, it's perfect.
Yeah. Anyway,
Anyway.
so wow, this was surprising
Yeah,
stuff.
totally surprising.
I thought, you would have something like this at the end of book three. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a big climactic moment or something, but
There's a nuke heading off. You
yeah.
found a nuke or something.
Yeah,
So
I
they
would
did not stretch that mystery out at all.
no.
You just have, yeah, it's not just like one group of racist whatever. You've got a four or five different power groups all kind of thinking they can put one over on each other or something. And
And very trigger happy.
very trigger happy. It is interesting,
Like,
again, that.
does Cuba not think that they would be retaliated against, right? Like,
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, I can see, can imagine the Russians and the Americans trying to nuke South Africa, but Cuba seemed to be, have its missiles pointed at the US. So they would immediately get retaliation, yeah.
right. I'm assuming that Cuba in this was firing on South Africa because South Africa was attacking their people.
That's maybe you're right. Maybe
But
you're right.
it's not
I think,
clear.
yeah, the missiles are supposed to be, go anywhere. So yeah, in theory, I guess, yeah,
Yeah, but
Cuba
I'm
also
totally in the
kind of get
dark
involved.
as who Russia and America would be firing on, like, especially if America was last. Like, so Cuba retaliates against South Africa or retaliates because of South Africa, but then why does Russia get involved? Like, that's.
It's a good question. My quick look at their wiki pages, even though there's other issues, South Africa was still kind of part of the West, and so, like I say, there's several Russian communist groups around in these rebel areas that
Yeah.
they would be so, more. They would be also sympathetic too. So, yeah, firing on them, the Cubans would be mad and the Russians would be mad. But the whole idea that this is going to trick anyone, there you are quickly disabused of that notion. So, why the South Africans are still thinking they're so clever, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, and when even like the other characters in the book are like, these guys are idiots. Like, they don't know what they're doing. How can they not realize? You know, but
So
I
it's
think
interesting.
it was effective though, right? Like, I didn't really see that coming. I didn't see the paranormal squad like failing epically coming. In my comic booky way, I'm still expecting like a fight where they use their powers, to square off against this rebel paranormal leader guy. Who turned out to be the complete fake out, so didn't see it coming.
Yeah, there was also something about like how they got their fake footage of this rebel paranormal. Like they gave it to the Russians, and the Russian president or something gave it to the Americans, and sort of the other like generals there were like suspicious of it or something. I don't know. It
Yeah.
was.
Well, I think like they were trying to wipe out the American paranormal, so like they were kind of okay with that part, but not so much with the missile launching part. So it was like the South Africans kind of went overboard. I don't know.
That sounds good.
Because they would also have been allies with the Cubans who are fighting against the white South Africans. So it's a little mixed up.
Yeah.
I mean, not that governments ever, don't ever play two sides of a conflict or anything, but.
Oh no. Yeah, I mean, the whole background of the conflicts going on at the time. You've got the Cold War, of course. And then you've got the South African apartheid boycotts and stuff. That really became a big thing in the 80s, of course. And so Iran didn't have a lot of friends either.
Right.
So they were also this kind of random element. So yeah, there's a it's interesting to us with the there were so many sort of conflicting sides at the time.
Right.
Yeah, it's a surprising book. Yeah, I read it through. It escalated much faster than I expected.
Yeah,
Did
after the
not
first
leave
one, I
me.
thought we were in for a slog.
Yeah, I thought, this would be snooze fest, but yeah, it just, went right through several plot points, burned right into major confrontation. I was kind of joking that like some of those red shirts would just die on the plane landed, which turned out to be close.
Yeah, not too far off. They made
They
it a little bit
really,
far.
I mean, when you don't even get what a guy's power is, it's kind of frustrating in a comic book. But okay.
Yeah. We'll never know what troll can do.
Unless it's resurrecting yourself from the dead, I don't see this going anywhere. Yeah, the story went not perfectly, but it built. Yeah, the characters we did get to know, we sort of continue with Kathy, Jack, Megaconte.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they
Pitbull
did a
is
nice.
displays dimensions that I'd never imagined.
Yeah, that was odd. I thought they did a nice job with Magna Conti. I mean, he's definitely pretty true to character, at least for like second half of Kickers Magna Conti, where he's, a little less serious. But also, so he's kind of taken that goofy Captain America vibe, but like some decent character moments with between him and Kathy Blizzard. But yeah,
So, yeah.
Pitbull was interesting.
So a lot of that fun stuff going on. Things, there's a few questions, but yeah, they're sort of assigned as just a platoon, but I honestly don't know that much about how like special forces operates, so which is
Yeah.
kind of what I guess they should have been working
Honestly, like
as.
if you were really going to do this, you would pair them with a special forces squad, like really experienced people that can handle the mission side, and then they can kind of tell these paranormal guys what to do. It's like, or like, okay, yeah, sneak in and do recon, blur, you can fly around and distract, right? Like kind of give direction. Magna Conti, run through a building.
It's true. You just have like one or two sort of assigned to a unit of like a Delta Force, and then
Yeah, like a secret weapon or something, or like I'm
yeah,
just.
sort of shield you from psychic attack by having your own psychic there. Stuff like that. Yeah.
It feels a little bit like, dropping the girls in the South American jungle,
Guns.
like here you go. Wait,
It
this time we gave them guns, they should be fine.
Yeah, it turned out I would say fun. I had
Yeah.
a good time with it. Night Mask, storyline they say will tie up at some point. It's still Keith is still kind of off on his own at this point,
Yeah.
so maybe there'll be more next issue.
Sad mask.
Assuming it doesn't like fast forward like 100 years and it's all post-apocalyptic survivors.
So in some of the last Night Mask that we saw, that he was starting to do some funky things where he was losing it, and like the Night Mask weird persona was kind of, and like some of the dream stuff was manifesting in real life. I
Oh, right.
wonder if maybe he'll have that as like a little bit of a secret weapon against Harlan or something, like something.
Let's hope. I was a little concerned in the first issue. It didn't. I wasn't quite sure that he was using his dream power as we'd
Yeah.
sort of seen it before, but Okay.
Sad Sack Night Mask isn't as fun as Original Recipe. He had a nice ending in his regular book and then kind of got dragged into the draft stuff, but.
Yeah, he got sort of drafted and misassigned. He was, I guess, more public. Like they were going to talk about his power at like that Dr. Ballard was going to publish a paper on it or something. So
Yeah.
maybe he was just easier to find. But oh, we'll definitely use this guy. That'll be helpful.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, let me see. There was so yeah, it's I was gonna say there's is it's kind of weird for us to read this also because part of it is this guy, did the pit and we know he did not, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not very convincing to us, and it's kind of like if that's a mystery to the characters, it's a little weird to us. So I'm not sure how to get around that. I mean, it's been a whole thing ever since the pit. Justice was going to look for the explanation, never did.
Yeah, I mean they could have thrown sort of messed up, resurrected, weird John Byrne version of Ken Connell, like, isolated in the South American or the South African jungle or something. And
That would have been interesting if he's completely lost it and they're
also has enough power to stop nukes, which he's done.
And I don't know, did you read the New Guardians, the DC book?
I think so, yeah. That was like the very 90s one. There was like an AIDS vampire in it kind of stuff.
Yeah, that sort of one.
Yeah.
There was something about like South Africa and that as well, because
It's
of all
been a
the
while.
apartheid stuff. It was becoming like a it's like there were villains in one of the Lethal Weapon movies, but the New Guardians really kind of reminded me of this a bit, or this reminded me of that,
Yeah.
as like that was really one of the main bad guys in it or something. It's been a long time since I read it.
Yeah, I read it not that long ago, but it's still kind of too hazy. I remember the cocaine powered guy, which was pretty funny, and the AIDS vampire, but then the book kind of got bad, so.
Well, let's see. Let's see. As far as a grade, I don't know. About what it, maybe a little better than yet last issue.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better than last issue. Definitely had some problems. Occasionally, some of the art was a little confusing, and some of the setup around the South African base is a little goofy. Like everything was out in plain sight. But yeah, I don't know. B plus. It was pretty good.
Okay, I'll be from me then, and a nukin.
Yeah, it's nuking literally this in this case, apparently.
We were talking about like the last Starbrand would be a good place to end be the last book out of the new you, but you could have just done it here. You could have
Yeah.
just said this is the last issue. We were kidding about there being more.
Yeah. Well, they can't destroy the whole world because they're still publishing Playboy magazine in Psi-Force, right? That's canon and came out before this, so.
It is
Unless it's post-apocalyptic world and the Playboy magazine is the new currency or something, but it seemed like they were doing a pretty casual interview there, so.
the humongous publishes Playboy in the future, I don't know. All right, shall we wrap it up?
Wrapping up.
That is it for this week's episode. Next time we continue our prestige format final miniseries, The War.
War Limited Series number 3. The unthinkable has finally happened. Nuclear war. And one of the most realistic depictions ever. We'll see what happens when the shell-shocked survivors try to rebuild civilization from the irradiated rubble. They're gonna rebuild civilization in one day, in one issue. Written by Doug Murray, drawn by Tom Morgan. New Universe graphic album, 350.
Counting down to the end, only two comics to go as the war continues. Remember, you can find us over at our website, kickersinc.com, and you can always email us, newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we will see you back at the spinner rack.
Don't let the new universe die.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
It's confusing, demeaning. I don't know what.
All right, dress it up. Let's look good for the freaks.
Something smells here. Something stinks.